Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most practical and frequently examined topics in your GCSE maths course: ratio, proportion, and rates of change. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Ratios? That sounds dry, but here's the thing. This topic is absolutely everywhere in real life. When a chef scales up a recipe, when an engineer calculates speed, when a bank applies compound interest to your savings, all of that is ratio and proportion in action. And examiners absolutely love testing it because it rewards students who can think logically and apply methods carefully. In today's episode, we're going to cover the core concepts you need to know, walk through some exam-style examples together, highlight the most common mistakes candidates make, and I promise you, once you hear them, you'll never make them yourself. And then we'll finish with a quick-fire quiz to test your recall. By the end of this podcast, you'll feel genuinely confident walking into any question on this topic. So let's get started. Let's begin with ratios. A ratio is simply a way of comparing two or more quantities. If I say the ratio of boys to girls in a class is 3 to 2, I'm saying that for every 3 boys, there are 2 girls. We write that as 3:2. The first thing examiners always check is whether you've simplified your ratio correctly. To simplify, you find the highest common factor of all the parts and divide through. So if you have 12 to 8, the highest common factor is 4, giving you 3 to 2. Simple. Now, here's a really important distinction that trips up so many candidates: the difference between a part-to-part ratio and a part-to-whole ratio. If the ratio of boys to girls is 3 to 2, that's part-to-part, boys compared to girls. But the fraction of the class that are boys is 3/5. That's part to whole because the total number of parts is 3 + 2, which equals 5. Mixing these up is one of the most common errors in exam papers, so always ask yourself, am I comparing part to part or part to the total? When you need to divide a quantity into a given ratio, use the unitary method. Here's how it works. Suppose you need to share 240 pounds in the ratio 3 to 5. First, add the parts. 3 + 5 = 8 parts in total. Then find one part. 240 divided by 8 equals 30. Finally, multiply each part by 30. 3 times 30 is 90 pounds, and 5 times 30 is 150 pounds. Always check by adding your answers. 90 + 150 = 240. Correct. Now let's move on to percentage change, which is tested constantly. The most efficient method is the multiplier method. For a percentage increase, you add the percentage to 100 and divide by 100. So a 15% increase gives a multiplier of 1.15. For a decrease, you subtract from 100. So a 20% decrease gives a multiplier of 0.80. To apply it, if a jacket costs 80 pounds and is reduced by 20%, you multiply 80 by 0.80 to get 64 pounds. Quick, clean, and far less prone to error than working out 20% and subtracting separately. The reverse percentage question is where many candidates lose marks. If you're told the price after a 20% reduction is 64 pounds and you need to find the original price, do not add 20% back on. That's wrong. Instead, divide by the multiplier. 64 divided by 0.80 equals 80 pounds. The original value is always new, value divided by the multiplier. Now, compound interest and growth and decay. These use repeated multiplication. The formula is final amount equals original amount multiplied by the multiplier raised to the power of n, where n is the number of time periods. So if you invest 1,000 pounds at 3% compound interest for 4 years, you calculate 1,000 multiplied by 1.03 to the power of 4. That gives you approximately 1,125 pounds and 51 pence. This is higher tier content, but it's well worth knowing. Let's talk about direct and inverse proportion. In direct proportion, as one variable increases, the other increases at the same rate. The equation is y equals k times x, where k is the constant of proportionality. The graph is a straight line through the origin. In inverse proportion, as one variable increases, the other decreases. The product of the two variables is always constant. The equation is y equals k divided by x. The graph is a curved hyperbola. It never touches the axes. To find k in either case, substitute a known pair of values. For example, if y is directly proportional to x and y equals 15 when x equals 5, then k equals 15 divided by 5, which equals 3. So the equation is y equals 3x. Finally, compound measures. These are measures that involve two different units combined. The three you must know are speed, density, and pressure. Speed equals distance divided by time. Density equals mass divided by volume. Pressure equals force divided by area. Think of the formula triangles. Cover the quantity you want to find, and the triangle shows you whether to multiply or divide the other two. But critically, and I cannot stress this enough, always check your units are consistent before you start. If distance is in kilometers and time is in minutes, you cannot just divide and get kilometers per hour. You must convert first. Rates of change on graphs are read as gradients. The gradient of a distance time graph gives speed. The gradient of a velocity time graph gives acceleration. A steeper gradient means a faster rate of change. A horizontal line means no change, zero rate of change. Right, let's talk exam technique. These are the mistakes I see most often in mark schemes, and they cost candidates marks every single year. Mistake number one, confusing part-to-part and part-to-whole ratios. If the ratio is 3 to 2, and the question asks for the fraction of the total, the answer is 3 over 5, not 3 over 2. Always add the parts to find the total. Mistake number two, adding a percentage back on to reverse a decrease. If something decreased by 20% and you want the original, divide by 0.80. Do not multiply by 1.20. Those are not inverse operations of each other. Mistake number three, not converting units before using compound measure formulas. If speed is in meters per second and you need kilometers per hour, you must convert. 1 meter per second equals 3.6 kilometers per hour. Mistake number four, treating inverse proportion like direct proportion. In inverse proportion, the product is constant. In direct proportion, the ratio is constant. They are fundamentally different relationships. Mistake number five, on graph questions, candidates often read the gradient incorrectly by not using two clearly separated points, or by forgetting to include units in their answer. The gradient of a distance-time graph is not just a number, it is a speed, and it needs units. For command words, when a question says calculate, you must show every step of working. Even if you get the final answer wrong, you can still earn method marks. When it says show that, you must demonstrate the full working. You cannot just write the answer. When it says estimate, round values to one significant figure first, then calculate. Time management. Allow roughly 1 minute per mark. A four-mark question should take around 4 to 5 minutes. If you're spending much longer, move on and come back. Okay, quiz time. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question one. What is the multiplier for a 35% increase? The answer is 1.35. Question two, if y is inversely proportional to x and y equals 6 when x equals 4, what is the value of the constant k? K equals y times x, so 6 times 4 equals 24. K equals 24. Question three, a car travels 150 kilometers in 2.5 hours. What is its average speed? Speed equals distance divided by time. 150 divided by 2.5 equals 60 kilometers per hour. Question four. A price is reduced by 30% to 56 pounds. What was the original price? Divide by the multiplier. 56 divided by 0.70 equals 80 pounds. Question five. What does the gradient of a distance time graph represent? Speed or rate of change of distance? How did you do? If you got all five, brilliant, you've really got this. If you missed a couple, go back and review those sections. No stress. That's exactly what this podcast is for. Let's wrap up with the key things to take away from today. One, always simplify ratios by dividing by the highest common factor and know the difference between part to part and part to whole. Two, use the multiplier method for percentage change. For increases, the multiplier is greater than one. For decreases, it's less than one. To reverse, divide by the multiplier. Three, for compound interest in growth or decay, use the formula final amount equals original amount times the multiplier to the power of n. 4. Direct proportion gives a straight line graph through the origin. Inverse proportion gives a curved hyperbola. Know your equations? Y equals kx and y equals k over x. 5. For compound measures, speed, density, pressure, always check units before calculating. Use formula triangles to rearrange. Some graph questions, the gradient is the rate of change. Always include units in your answer. You've got this. Ratio, proportion, and rates of change is a topic that rewards careful, methodical working. And that is absolutely something you can practice and get right every time. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode. Take care.